What to do with forever chemicals? Over the course of the past decade, Michigan has discovered multiple hotspots contaminated with PFAS, forever chemicals that do not break down, and that we know can lead to severe health issues for human exposure. The state of Michigan devised consumer protections and regulations for PFAS contamination, but late last Friday, the Minnesota-based chemical giant 3M filed a lawsuit to end the state's legal protections for PFAS exposure. Joining us now to talk more about this is M Live reporter Garrett Ellison, who's written quite a bit about this. Garrett, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So as I mentioned, 3M is based in Minnesota. Can you remind us a little bit about 3M's history on the west side of the state, that history and how it brought us to this lawsuit?
Certainly. So 3M obviously is a chemical manufacturer, and they're sort of the original manufacturer of PFAS compounds. And in Michigan, their history is closely tied to the Rockford-Belmont area, where they famously at this point sold that chemistry in the 50s to Wolverine Worldwide, which applied 3M Scotchgard to leather that it then manufactured into shoes, most famously the Hush Puppies brand shoes. And that manufacturing process and the waste byproduct that came from it was dumped into the ground in unlined landfills back in the 60s and 70s. And that's contaminated the groundwater. And that was something that was discovered in 2017.
What remedy is the corporation seeking from the state? What point are they suing over?
Well, 3M, they're suing in the Court of Claims, and they're trying to get a judge to essentially strike down the state's maximum contaminant levels or drinking water standards for seven different PFAS compounds. Now, you know, there's thousands of different PFAS compounds, but the state went through a regulatory process to develop hard limits in drinking water for seven of them. And those went into effect last summer. It was something that not a lot of people really noticed it because it was a very busy summer
right,
last year, but those actually took effect in August. And so 3M is trying to knock those down essentially. And it's arguing that the process that created them was essentially rushed. And in their filing, they say it's scientifically flawed and invalid, and it was essentially pushed through simply to meet the whims of the governor who wanted it done.
In your reporting, you note that 3M has paid out millions of dollars to several Michigan municipalities. Can you run us through where they've paid out and why?
Right. 3M has most recently, I guess, has settled a lawsuit, not to a municipality, but they're along with Georgia-Pacific, they are settling a civil class action case arising out of the parchment contamination that was discovered in 2018. That was in the sort of suburban city near Kalamazoo, where they found high levels of this stuff in the municipal water supply. And so 3M and Georgia-Pacific just recently announced an $11.9 million settlement with the class action plaintiffs, which most attorneys I talked to seem to see that as a pretty good deal for those two companies. Last year, 3M and Georgia Pacific also reached a deal with the city of Kalamazoo to essentially pay them about $5.5 million to cover the city's cost of connecting the Kalamazoo water system to homes in Parchment and Cooper Township, which that work is ongoing right now. I actually live in the Parchment area and I drive past the construction on that all the time. And so that's just a real small part of the settlement costs and litigation costs right now for 3M, which are significant. The company is facing, a blizzard of lawsuits probably doesn't even begin to describe it. I think Bloomberg reported in January that, you know, in the fourth quarter of 2019 alone, 3M had spent like $214 million on PFAS litigation. And that was before they agreed to pay $55 million to help cover the cost of extending water mains in the Rockford and Belmont area up in Kent County related to the Wolverine Worldwide contamination. So, I mean, it all gets to the fact that 3M is facing significant costs, liability costs from this chemistry being out in the environment and being exposed to people.
I mean, 3M's a big company, and it sounds like Michigan is not the only place that has become a battleground over PFAS. Do you feel like you have a sense of the context of where Michigan stands in terms of 3M's problems with this and the liabilities that they could face in the future?
Well, Michigan is not the first state that 3M has come after the state's drinking water standards. Generally, when these types of rules are created, they're developed at the national level, right? The EPA goes through a really multi-year process, and it develops, you know, rules that are then adopted by the state regulatory agencies. But the EPA hasn't done that since the 90s, right? And so states are kind of stepping in to fill the gap here, say, you know, hey, the system at the federal level is broken. We need to be able to protect our own citizens, and we can essentially do the same thing. And so we're going to develop our own drinking water standards. And lots of states are doing that across the country. 3M is fighting back. And right now it's pressing a similar case as to what it's doing in Michigan, in New Jersey. And it recently lost a similar challenge in New Hampshire after the state legislature essentially backed up the standards and passed a bill that solidified them in state law.
Hey, Garrett, why hasn't the EPA set national protections for PFAS that would just be in place across the country?
Well, so it takes a long time to do something like that through the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act. And that's a criticism of the EPA that is very common. At this point, with what we know about the risk to people from PFAS exposure through drinking water and the attention and the science that's been done, you know, there's a lot of activists and lawmakers in both parties in Capitol Hill that say, you know, it's past time for the EPA to be doing this. And to its credit, the EPA is now and has just really formally begun just this year. In fact, it was like the last full day of Donald Trump's tenure as president that the agency announced that it would move ahead with drinking water standards for just two of the many PFAS compounds, PFOS and PFOA. They're the most well-known of the family of PFAS chemistry. And so the Biden EPA is continuing on with that as well. But it takes a long time, right? Nobody expects that process to take fewer than 3 to 4 years. And so because the agency has to show that these chemicals are widespread in national drinking water supplies and they're harmful, you know, it's kind of a high bar to meet. It's just something that really hasn't happened for drinking water contaminants since the 90s. In fact, there was perchlorate, you know, it's a kind of a chemical that's found in rocket fuel. They almost got something through during the Trump years, but it didn't make it all the way through. And so, you know, a lot of advocates around PFAS chemistry say, look, you know, the EPA has shown that it's just unable to do this. The last time a drinking water standard was developed was in the 90s. So the states are kind of stepping in and saying, look, we have to protect our citizens. We can't wait for Washington to act on this. And the laws that were passed last year in Michigan, actually, the toxicology reviews that laid the foundation for that, you know, happened under Governor Rick Snyder, right? That was something that was born out of the Wolverine Worldwide contamination and the subsequent drinking water testing that happened across all drinking water systems in Michigan. They found, you know, I think 1.9 million people in Michigan were found to be drinking some level of this stuff,
right?
Even if it's very minute or trace. Michigan's a good example of a state that has decided, look, this stuff is a threat. We're finding it everywhere. We're not waiting for the federal government. And, you know, 3M is a major corporation. They have almost infinite resources, despite all this money that's being spent on litigation. And so they're facing huge liability and they're trying to fight it.
I'm glad that you mentioned perchlorate. We haven't even mentioned one of the major players in the lineup of PFAS stakeholders, and that's the Department of Defense, which used firefighting foam in training at military bases, and the whole aerospace industry has a stake in this as well. There's the former Wirt Smith Air Force Base in Oscoda, which was a source of contamination a lot of people have heard of. Does the Department of Defense have a stake in the outcome of the 3M lawsuit?
You know, they do. It's almost sort of an indirect thing. So the state's drinking water standards, you know, are also de facto groundwater cleanup standards. And so right now, that's where the Department of Defense in Oscoda is in a bit of a squabble with the state over whether its groundwater cleanup standards and its, you know, apply to some of the remediation systems that they're trying to install on the base up there in order to clean up the groundwater that's entering the wetlands around the Asabo River. And so, you know, if the state's drinking water standards were to be struck down somehow, that would throw a lot of what the state is doing in terms of trying to get the Air Force to comply with its rules up in Oscoda. That would, you know, kind of throw that into complete disarray.
We have about a minute left here, Garrett. What would the options be for the state if 3M prevails in court and the protections get eliminated?
That's a good question, and I don't really have a great answer for it. I think this would probably go through the appellate process, you know, depending on whether, you know, the standards are struck down and then there's some sort of grace period involved in that. You know, I don't see the state just kind of folding up and going, well, you know, we tried and then going home. It would probably just end up restarting the regulatory process and going through it in a way as to try and make sure that it's, you know, litigation proof in the future.
Garrett Ellison reports on environmental issues for MLive. Garrett, thank you so much for talking to us about this.
No problem. Thanks for having me.